It was the first full term for President Bush's two conservatives on the U.S. Supreme Court, Associate Justice Samuel Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts.
The court has moved far to the right.
Civil libertarian Ralph Neese of People for the American Way led the liberal opposition to the two appointments, but conservative legal scholar Naomi Rao disagrees with his analysis.
I think it's really too early to tell exactly what's going to happen with this court.
The High Court decided 24 cases by a margin of just one vote, and conservatives prevailed in 19 of them. Roberts and Alito and Justices Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas were joined by Justice Anthony Kennedy. Among those rulings, the court upheld a ban on a form of late-term abortion. Justices made it easier for prosecutors to remove jurors who might oppose the death penalty. They limited local school districts' ability to use race to assign students in desegregation efforts. Law professor Jonathan Turley has followed the court, written about it, and commented on its decisions for two decades.
These are young justices, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, and they've shown that they've got a stable five-justice majority.
Moderates and liberals on the court won five of the one-vote margins. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, John Paul Stevens, Stephen Breyer, and David Souter were joined in those rulings by Kennedy. In one example, they ruled the federal government can limit car emissions in order to control gases that contribute to global warming. Kennedy, on the winning side in every close case, has become the court's crucial swing vote. But Turley says he is tacking rightward.
In many ways, Justice Kennedy has sort of run home. He's become a more reliable conservative.
In their confirmation hearings, Chief Justice Roberts and Alito both told the U.S. Senate they were inclined to follow the legal doctrine called stare decisis, a principle based on established legal precedent. Some conservatives say the Roberts Court has not boldly overturned precedents established by a more liberal court two or more decades ago. And Rao, who clerked for Thomas, says both he and Scalia appeared irritated and unhappy.
But some of the concurring opinions, that, especially the ones that Justice Scalia wrote, were rather angry, you know, and very critical of the Chief Justice's, I think, pose of minimalism.
The court made an abrupt turn on two cases involving civil liberties. It tightened limits on student speech, allowing a school administrator to punish high school students who unfurled a banner interpreted as celebrating drug use. And justices limited the ability of schools to assign students on the basis of race in efforts to integrate public schools. It is a decision that could affect classrooms across the U.S.
Literally, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ways that race is used. All of those are now suspect, and so it can mean a very significant change.
Change is what President Bush promised on the court. Even as his popularity and power now wane, Mr. Bush's new justices will guide the law for a generation or more.
He changed the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court changed the law of the land, and that changed the country. Now, that's a legacy by any definition of the term.
The fight now moves into the political arena as voters decide whether a Democrat or Republican will succeed Mr. Bush in the White House. Ralph Neese says liberals will push for change.
We think the Supreme Court's future is the most important issue facing America in 2008 in these elections.
It is the sort of activism conservatives practiced over three decades in their successful campaign to wrest control of America's highest court. Jim Fry, VOA News.